Hello, Canadian television nerds. My name is Greg David, and welcome to TV ABCs, where we have conversations about Canadian television before cameras, before cuts, before channels, and explore how the people behind your favorite shows are being creative. This week, a conversation with Sean Buckley. Sean Buckley is an award-winning producer and the driving force behind Buck Productions, a leading content creation company successful in feature films, television, branded content, documentaries, and commercials. Currently, Buckley and his team at Buck Productions are producing four 10-part unscripted series for U.S. cable network powerhouse Reels. The first two series, The Stalker Files and It Happened Here, will premiere in 2018. In Canada, he's also in post-production on the unique documentary series Merchants of the Wild. We'll hear all about that and more in my conversation with Sean Buckley. Sean, as I said just before we started recording, thank you so much for taking the time. I've been covering television and Canadian television specifically for several years, and I'm fascinated with the role of the producer and the production company. So I've been looking forward to chatting with you for a few days just so we could dig down into it and talk about the producer's role.
It was my pleasure.
So let's start at the beginning. How did you get into this industry in the first place? Were you an intern on a film or a TV show? Were you a PA? How did it start for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, definitely the school of hard knocks.
Yeah.
I didn't study it. And I got into it a little later in the game. I graduated from university and studied business and political science, which was going to be a huge success, you know, hugely helpful to me in television and film.
Yeah.
You know, it's often I find myself discussing Plato's ideal state on a film set. But anyway, I graduated and I got a job at McLean Hunter in publishing and advertising, and I loved it. And I did that for 2 years. And so now I'm starting to kind of, you know, set my course, my journey. But there was this uneasy kind of feeling I had about this not being how I really wanted to live my life, how I'd always dreamed about being an entrepreneur, and I always loved this space, storytelling, content creation. So I travel around the world for a year and a half. I return, I'm 25/26, and I start as a PA on a film called Gladiator Cop 2, which was atrocious. And and I'm making, I think, $200 for a 6-day week, and it's, you know, fetching coffees and dragging cables and just kind of throwing yourself into it.
Well, at what point did you decide that you wanted to create projects? Like, was there an aha moment where in the middle of dragging cables, you're like, no, I want to be the guy creating and distributing and doing all that stuff?
It was an organic process, and it was about me creating these opportunities for myself. And that is not, I'd set out not to just be a producer. My goal was always to build a company and focus on the brand Buck Productions. And while I was directing and producing, I was always, and maybe it took a little longer, and maybe that's why I had to kind of stay the course. Rather than show up at another established company, I was trying to push through the properties that I created or optioned through Buck. So it was a dual approach. While I was establishing myself as a content creator and a producer, I'm trying to also establish Buck Productions as a going concern in the, you know, production company community.
It's one thing to want to do that, to start up a company like Buck Productions, but it's another to do it. So did you have help along the way? Were there any mentors that helped you, or was it kind of trial by fire for you?
It was more like blind optimism meets fear.
Yeah.
There were mentors. There are definitely people that I've you know, turned to for advice and counsel. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't any, like, there wasn't anyone in, you know, I was the first, if you will, in my universe. Like, there's no family members in this business, nothing. In a sense, breaking ice. And I turned to mentors, and then, but really it was about when I was working as an AD on a series, and I kind of got into the Directors Guild, and I was like a tad, and then I'd worked up to third, and I was kind of working my way up the AD ladder. And I was doing that very purposely because I wanted that inside seat on how a set runs, the responsibilities of the crew, who's doing what, watching the director work, watching the producers work with the director. And I basically, it's, you know, I was drinking through a fire hose. I was learning all that I could possibly learn by submerging myself into the environment. But I also saw that I didn't want to be caught up in that world where 10 or 15 years were going to go by and I was ADing a bigger film or a bigger series or a big, as opposed to creating. So it created this seesaw, and it was basically a financial seesaw. And on one side was, you know, Buck's portfolio, if you will. And the other side was, you know, the cost of me surviving. And as, you know, I would, you know, as the one side would go up as I made a bunch of money from working on a series, you know, the other side of the seesaw was down, and that's the portfolio on Buck. So as I created more and more work for Buck, doing spec box commercials, developing scripts, you know, the financial seesaw is coming down on the other side. But the portfolio was growing in Buck. And then I'd have to go back on set, work as an AD, raise, portfolio's going down on Buck, but the money's going up. And it just got to a point where I could level it off. And then really, at the end of the day, I just focused on creating a revenue model inside the organic growth of Buck. Financing projects myself, building projects myself. Whatever I'd make on directing a commercial for Buck, I would roll back into something else. So as it currently stands, Buck is owned 100% by myself. There's never been a VC play. There's never been an angel investor. It's really just about growing the business organically. And what's important is I didn't do that. Oh, listen, back in the day, I didn't have any options. But sure. I never did that for the reason of control. What it has allowed is a very protected culture here at Buck, where it's, you know, content creation first. We don't want to do projects that we're not incredibly humbled and proud of. That's where the brand, that's where our logo goes. And me having, you know, the privilege of kind of working with amazing teams that come into this culture and are, I don't know, they find it more liberating. Like there's less, like it's about good work. It's about collaboration. It's not about micromanaging. It's about macro mentoring. It's just a different vibe. And that was in a sense, we've arrived here and it's been some time. But that was the goal from day one.
I don't know of any other industry where you can sit down and ask questions of people and people will help you than in this industry. I mean, it's so easy to walk up to somebody on a set and ask them what they're doing, and they're quite open about what they're doing and don't have a problem telling you about it. I don't know of many other industries that are willing to do that, or the people are willing to do that, and then on top of that, willing to mentor you and help you out either. I feel like it's kind of unique.
You know, Greg, it's funny as you say that, you're absolutely right. That's not like, you know, some financial advisor doesn't sit you in a room and say, okay, here's my biggest client. Here's the way that I built his book. You know, there's this kind of fenced in mentality. Here in this business, and perhaps it's because anybody who's kind of navigated through the challenging obstacles in this business, I think feels a little blessed. And, you know, as hard as you work in this business, and you have got to work hard, there's got to be some luck involved. You got to be at the right place at the right time. Just a lot of things, and a lot of things need to happen for you to kind of come through this business with a portfolio and, you know, success. And in your own description of success, you know, that's different to everybody in this business.
Right.
But, you know, when you do, I think you owe it to kind of pay it forward and pay it backwards, you know, to the people that are trying to get through something that you've navigated that, again, is super, super challenging.
Looking at the portfolio, the list of work on your site, I've seen several of them. I've seen movies like Wet Bum and Defendor, several TV series like Saw Dogs, Keys to VIP, and the Project Guatemala. The thing about all of those projects are they're all very, very different from each other. So is that a conscious effort on your part to go after and have diverse, have all your projects be diverse? Is that a conscious decision? And if so, why?
It's a very conscious decision. We did a series called Rich Bride, Poor Bride. We did seven seasons of it. And it was a time, you know, and in doing that, I was quickly approached to, you know, do more and more wedding shows. I chose not to because I didn't want to be the wedding show company.
Right.
We did a film for Lionsgate called Unrivaled, and it was an MMA film. It's kind of like Rocky, but with, you know, the world's greatest MMA fighters at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was offered a 3-picture deal to follow up and pretty much recreate the same films, which I chose not to do because I didn't want to be that company either. The choice to be diversified is a 2-pronged approach. One is, as a content company, we're diversified. So if you look at our reality division, our feature films, our feature documentaries, our branded content, we're a scripted series, reality, we're very, very diversified. And that's a business model that has worked. But even the second prong is going inside those divisions. And let's look at film. You go into a film division, and we're incredibly diversified there. So you've got Milton Secret, which we did a couple of years, 2 years ago, with Donald Sutherland, Michelle Rodriguez, Option Eckhart Tolle's book, which is, it's really about anti-bullying, being present, conscious parenting. There are so many valuable, incredible messages in that film. I could not be more proud of it. On the flip side, you know, through my partnership in the Coup Company and my ownership in that, my partnership in that company, we released Wolf Cop. And it was a werewolf cop.
Right.
Dirty Harry, Only Harrier. You could not have two different kind of films. Like if you were to say, hey, let's go from Wolf Cop tonight on movie night and let's watch a double feature. Let's watch Wolf Cop and then Milton's Secret. You'd be like, what the? So yes, within our portfolio of work, we're very focused on constantly challenging ourselves to innovate, like to push ourselves as a company and as creators into space that at times could be a little uncomfortable. Well, we haven't done this yet. Well, let's do it. And then we have.
Right. Do you take cold pitches from the public if someone's got an idea? I notice on your website, it looks as it indicates that you do.
100%. You know, in fact, to me, the greatest, you know, like technology is allowing us to do more with less. And I love that. Yeah. But still, at the end of the day, access to cameras, editing, this, that, there's more content being generated now than ever. And that's only going to increase and increase and increase. But still, at the end of the day, the great separator, the great dividing moment is the idea. Mm. The concept. And now my responsibility as a producer is to continually search and look and partner and find that idea, that character, that story, that, you know, in branded content, it's that incredible piece of content that is perfect for that brand. But again, it all stems back from, you know, a concept.
Right.
So those ideas can come from anywhere. I love supporting the courage of people trying to get their idea out there in a world of so many, you know, closed doors. I like to think that Buck is an open one for ideas, collaboration, and working with creators on a multitude of levels. While we continue to create internally with teams internally.
We're going to talk about one of your upcoming projects in a few minutes, and it's called Merchants of the Wild, and I'm particularly interested about that. But Sean, what trends are you guys seeing? Documentary series seem to be very, very popular right now. Reality series, of course, have been popular for a long time. What are you seeing over there at Buck? Like, what's getting you excited? What do you see the next trend as being?
We've been in the brand entertainment space for over a decade. One of the first shows the CBC ever did that was fully financed by a brand was Mitsubishi's City Chase. And we've gone on to do McMorris, which was financed by Red Bull. We did a complete and gorgeous Japanese Canadian co-production. Toilet about a dysfunctional family based here in Toronto, and the entire film was financed by Toto Toilets out of Japan, the agency Dentsu. That's a space that we've been in, we are going to continue to be in, and we see growth in. That's brands no longer wanting to be the sticker on the NASCAR. They want to be the engine in the NASCAR. They want to be a part of the ride, part of the journey, and that's going to unfold in a multitude of different ways. And we're working. We just released two digital series, one for Hilton Hotels, one for Infinity. We've done a lot, and I think we're going to do a lot more. Also, I see continued growth in what is now just a larger landscape of storytelling space to play in, and that's scripted series.
Right.
The ability for an audience to consume the content the way they want to consume it, when and where they want to consume it, has allowed series to be digested, at an unbelievable rate. While a lot of, series are being commissioned, but we're doing them, put out in the landscape. Imagine there was a time when there was only a certain way that series could be consumed. It would be once a week on a certain night, and you couldn't get it any other way. Now, a series is being commissioned, is being produced, it's being packaged, and it's being put on a platform all at once, not staggered.
Yep.
All at once. And within, a 48-hour window, that entire series can be consumed, and an audience is looking for more.
Yeah.
So that's changed the playing field completely. It has for some time. Mm-hmm. But that's a space that we're going to continue to do more and more work in.
Yeah, what you're saying is right, and I find myself, even though I'm focusing on Canadian television, the traditional television, I'm chatting with more and more folks in the digital space. Web series in this country are just exploding at an incredible rate. I'm getting pitches all the time. It's an incredible growth that we're seeing, particularly online, which is exciting, and it makes things accessible to a lot more people.
100%, and it's exciting. I think personally, there's never been a more exciting time to be a content creator. Mm-hmm. There's, on so many levels, the gatekeepers are being dismantled, and more opportunities for you as a content creator to get get to the end game, which is an audience consuming your content. That's, now more present than ever. Now, the question is, yes, I just filmed my cat playing the piano and then a whole bunch of people watch it on YouTube. That's fantastic. That's great. Now, there's still a revenue mechanism that needs to be placed against the content that you're creating if you're, you know, you're running a business. But, you know, where was a time when you would walk to, you know, the networks, and if the network said no, you weren't making a series. Period, full stop. Now, you've got networks, you've got all the OTTs, you've got Facebook getting in the game, you've got, you know, why don't we just do it with the brand? They'll finance it, and we'll release it online to their hyper-specific audience. More and more opportunities for your content to get through are now present.
One of the things I was interested in getting your input in is that it was last June when the then head of the CRTC was, it looked as though he was going to be making it harder to make Canadian content in this country. He was aiming to reduce spending requirements for programs of national interest. It's not quite a year later after those comments, but how did that affect you as an independent producer? What was your knee-jerk reaction, and has anything changed in that time?
It's challenging. There's no questions asked. But we as a business model, you're constantly recalibrating yourself to be nimble, to be large, to be all that you need to be in a challenging landscape. Mm-hmm. We were strengthening our presence internationally and have been for some time now. So I've done numerous shows with Canadian broadcasters, and they are fantastic to work with. Their support has been, at the end of the day, why Buck is here. Mm-hmm. We've also delivered delivered to numerous major networks around the world. So those relationships have been forged, and, you know, it just gives us a larger audience to take our content opportunities to. With more and more players coming on the scene, you know, it's starting to become less and less about regions and territories and more about, again, right back to what we were speaking of earlier, great content.
Yeah.
And a want for great content. The other thing that I got into brand content space for, and we've been very successful in, is broadcasters in this country, traditional broadcasters, are experiencing a challenging time. I mean, ad revenues are down. People are cutting the cables. We've gone from cable cutters to, you know, there's cable nevers out there. Don't have cable in their home. But I think really, and this is just because I have had a fantastic working relationship with all of the major Canadian broadcasters, is, you know, it's not about, okay, well, so much for them, let's look elsewhere. That's not Buck's stance. Mm. This is why we've forged ahead and have been, you know, involved with brand content for quite a substantial period of time, because I can then take McMorris and McMorris. I can walk into MTV Canada and say, hey guys, I'm not just pitching you a show. I'm pitching you a partner scenario where I've gone and I've raised the funds through brand content so that I'm coming to you as a partner, not just pitching you an idea that you need to write a license fee check for. I'm saying, here's the content. Content always leads, has to be great content, or it's just an infomercial. Here's the financial scenario, and I'm bringing in Red Bull and Burton and Oakley, and I've now reduced your licensing fee to this. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're in a room and you're working with the broadcasters of this country, as a partner, and as someone is working with them through, you know, some challenging times.
I mentioned this before. I'm very excited about Merchants of the Wild. I'm a history buff anyway, so this really excites me. But also the part that excites me is that it's six Indigenous men and women, and they're going to be reliving the survival in the fur trade in this country, which is great. But it's also going to be, aside from it being a fascinating history lesson, it's going to be very interesting to see these people reconnect, if there has been a disconnect in their lives, with their heritage and with the history and their past and the people that came before them. So can you talk a little bit about Merchants of the Wild? I think you guys just announced it. I think it was last week or perhaps the week before. So what's the status of that project right now?
So very, very exciting. You talked about working with great talent. Daniel Fortin came to me with this property, I loved it, and I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah,
APTN was involved, had been shaping it mm-hmm. with Daniel, and I guess in that situation, sometimes it's just in this particular project, it was a bit of a mentoring role. So, we worked together. We shaped the show. I loved the idea, and I loved the idea because, the medium of storytelling, be it a television show, capturing some of these elders' wisdom is so drastically important. And that's really what Daniel was about. That's what Daniel was doing with APTN, who's been fantastic to work with. It's about protecting it before it's gone. And that's exactly what the show is all about. We're in post-production right now. I've actually brought in Beyond Distribution, who are a great international distributor. They've taken the show on, partnered with us to distribute it around the world, starting with MIPCOM in April in France, where this, amazing show that we shot like way north, I mean like way north, puts an entire generation face to face with another entire generation where wisdom is passed down. You literally watch, there's this one moment in the series that blew my mind where an elder's talking about how you after you've built your birch bark canoe. I mean, and I'm talking about not the one at, Costco that has got like a laminate that looks like birch bark. This is real birch bark.
Right.
And I'm talking made from hand. Okay. And it floats and transports individuals down a river. Like it's remarkable. And to see the looks on these young individuals' faces when like they're doing it, like, and it can be done. And it's an art that needs to be passed down. But he goes on, one of the elders goes on in one of the episodes to walk them through how to cut an oar, a single oar out of a single piece of wood out of a tree. And he does it and he shows them how to do it. But what's remarkable is when you pull back, you see in this massive tree, two other oars that have been cut over the last 60 years in the growth of the tree. So it's about passing down wisdom, but it's also got a massive environmental message in this show, which again is another reason why I wanted to work with Daniel and APTN and bring this show to life.
When you say way north, how far north was it filmed?
We were just outside of North Bay.
Okay.
So it was and out in a gorgeous area. We went to picture in October. So it was starting to get a little nippy. Everybody was it brought the experience. What we've captured will share an amazing experience with our audiences. But the experience was deeper than that because you've got camera guys that are up there and you start to realize that with way less, these elders are living in environments like this. And and that's really like that's what we're trying to teach an audience is, to kind of understand this knowledge of living on the land.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to see
it. That's very cool. Very cool show.
And to wrap up, you've already kind of talked about, your beginnings in the industry and all the opportunities that are out there now. But what's your state? What's your thoughts on the state of Canadian TV? People are using words like golden age. Do you agree with that? Do you think that we're really in the golden age of Canadian TV with all the opportunities and the storytelling that we're given access to now?
I'd say it's on some levels. It's the product, the content is getting better and better. And that's because technology, like if you look at all the barriers to entry that have been present in the past, if you didn't have $250,000, you couldn't cut. You couldn't be an editor because you couldn't afford an Avid. Mm-hmm. Or, if you didn't have access to a 35mm camera, you weren't shooting series or films. Now these technical advances have allowed more and more people to come in and create. But all that's done is it's just leveled the playing field where talent is what's piercing through. And with that happening, the game has become quicker. The game has become better. And the product, the content, is really what has risen to a whole new level. And that's what's driving this plethora of exceptional work coming from Canada and coming from Canada's creators.
A big thanks to Sean Buckley for taking the time to chat about his career with me. You can find all of our podcasts at tva.com. Just click the podcast tab or subscribe to the podcast via Apple or Google Play. Well, that wraps up another episode for this week, and now back to your regularly scheduled programming.